right, let's get into this award-winning lesson and community church, church community. There was an interesting study done in Princeton University, and they took 200 students, and about half of them, they talked to them about the story of the Good Samaritan. And the other half, they talked about different concepts. And the challenge was, one by one, the student was supposed to leave this building and go to a second building across campus and share with a group of people what they had learned about their discussion they had in the first building. And half of them were going to share on the Good Samaritan, and the other half was going to share on whatever particular topic. On the route, they had a guy who looked homeless, dressed very poorly. He's setting up against a wall by the sidewalk, and the students would go one by one. And every time the student went by, he would moan out and kind of shift like he was almost falling over. The experiment was to see those who had studied and the message of the Good Samaritan, would there be a different reaction from the 100 that were just going to talk about anything? What do you think the results showed? What would you guess?
No difference.
Pardon?
No difference between the two.
Number one, absolutely correct, was no difference statistically between the two. The second one, very few even paid any attention. So here, you're an expert on the Good Samaritan story, on your way to share your knowledge to somebody else. You actually pass somebody and you just keep on going. There was absolutely no difference between the two groups. What happens as a church in a community is we get caught up within ourselves, and we have a right set of words, but we have no action behind them. I talked to a young lady this last week whose dad's a pastor, and she said, what's interesting is my dad's a pastor, but he only helps the people in his church. He helps nobody else outside the community. So today, let's look at that word community, and let's look at church. You know, we can define. We have all those words. You know, church is supposed to be a lighthouse in the community. The church is supposed to do this. Well, it's always good to go and see what Jesus says, because that is our example. So I need you to find, however you find it, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Now Jesus gets up to preach. This is early in his ministry. And he preaches really his first sermon that we know is to a congregation. Now here he is. He's come to reveal God. He's standing up before a group. He can preach on anything. He can preach on Daniel 12. He can preach on creation versus evolution. He can preach on anything. Let's see what he decides he wants to preach. His very first sermon to a congregation. Isaiah 61, verse 1. And this is what he preaches exactly.
Okay, again, we're Good News Bible.
Okay.
The Sovereign Lord has filled me with His Spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to captives and freedom to those in prison.
Okay. Wow. Right off the bat. What's his message? Go through it again. What's his message?
He's filled with the Spirit. Chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor.
Good news to the poor.
Heal the brokenhearted.
Heal the brokenhearted.
And announce release to the captives.
Okay.
And freedom to those in prison.
Okay. Now read the next one, verse 2.
He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save his people and defeat their enemies.
All right, stop right there. All right, got the picture? Wow, what a sermon. Nothing about doctrine, nothing about you should be doing this. Good news, good news, good news. Now, what's interesting is sometimes what Jesus leaves out. Sometimes it's not what he says, it's what he doesn't say. So read the next sentence, because he leaves this sentence out.
He has sent me to comfort all who mourn.
Well, he didn't leave that one out. Just kidding. He said that one. Next one.
To give those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief.
He said that. Next one.
A song of praise instead of sorrow.
Said that.
They will be like trees that the Lord himself has planted. They will all do what is right, and God will be praised for what he has done.
Okay. Now to show you I'm not exactly nuts, which sometimes is important to do, the Good News Bible leaves out the sentence I was looking for, and to show the day of vengeance.
Vengeance of our God.
Yeah. Jesus leaves that one out. I guess the Good News Bible left it out too. You see?
That's in, pardon? That's in the New American
Standard. Yeah, it's in there, right? Yeah. He leaves that out. Why? Because he's there to preach good news. Now go to 62, 1 and 2. This is what the church is supposed to be to a community.
Chapter 62 of Isaiah.
1 and 2.
Good News Bible. I will speak out to encourage Jerusalem. I will not be silent until she is saved, and her victory shines like a torch in the night. Jerusalem, the nations will see you victorious. All their kings will see you, your glory. You will be called by a new name, a name given by the Lord himself.
Okay. God's ideal. Thank you. Was always been that the church, his people, the children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, they were supposed to be so good, so happy, so prosperous, that as people came by, they would stop and say, "What do you have that we don't have?" That has always been God's plan. That the church, his people, stand out so much that we don't have to go to the world. The world would come to us and say, "What do you folks do? I see nothing but happiness. I see nothing but smiles. I see how you take care of people. I see love. I want to be part of that. What do you have?" Yes?
When I look at those pictures on the wall there, it reminds me of last Thursday, my daughter-in-law invited me over to her house, and they had about 12 children there of ages, from ages 5 to about 12 or 14, and I was able to share with them my knowledge of how to paint in watercolors. And that's the latest thing I've done with my life, is to be able to share with others now that same thing. And these pictures reminded me of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
You got.
You know, one of the things we miss, and that's a good thing, Jim. We got to make friends of people. We got to know people. Now, I want to draw. Good news. Do you keep hearing good news? Jesus says, I'm bringing good news to the poor. I'm bringing good news. I'm bringing good news to these people. Now, I want to show you the typical evangelistic style that we have been using for 140 years. I want you to picture, here's a guy that we're getting ready to give a Bible study to. He's overweight. He's smoking a cigarette, drinking beer, watching TV on Sabbath afternoon, and eating a pork chop.
Sinner.
Just throw the thing at him, you sinner. Now we come in, and we're going to bring him good news, right? So we come in and we sit down. How do we do it normally? You tell me. I'm not going to tell you. Tell me, how normally do we do with a guy who smokes, overweight, drinking beer, eating pork chop, watching TV on Saturday? What's our normal approach?
What game's on?
Pardon?
What game is on? Longhorns playing?
Longhorns not playing. It's that lousy Notre Dame, Ohio State. Yeah. How do we normally do? Here's the good news to this guy. Sir, do you enjoy smoking? Well, yeah. You can't do that. Do you drink beer? Oh, man, I drink about 6 cans a day. You can't do that. And oh, my goodness, do you eat pork? Well, yeah. You can't do that. Watching TV on Saturday after, you can't do that. And he looks at us and says, where's the good news? Oh, do you wear a jewelry around your... Why, you can't do that. And he looks and says, where's the good news? We take a person like that and running through a series of 20 studies. Oh, by the way, you're a Catholic? Oh my goodness! And we want to change their life. We come in and knock the cigarette out of his hand, take the beer, empty the can, turn the TV off, rip his necklace off of him, grab that pork chop and give him a veggie cut. And tell him the Catholic Church is going to kill you someday. Would you like to be baptized? And he says, no. And then we come back and say, we almost had him. So, Jesus says, I've come to give you good news. One of the things I teach in selling is that you've got to be focused on what's good in your life when you're out there selling, because you transfer whatever feelings you have to the person with you that you're in contact with. And so, have you ever seen a person that's negative, and when they walk in the room, the old saying, you know, the room just dies? Well, there's a reason that happens. Right? So, what happens is, we've got to share some good news. We've got to give a Bible study where the person wants us to come back next week and share some more good news. So here we have this guy going to the wrong church, watching TV on the wrong day, eating the wrong food, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. How do we tell him about the good news? What specifically do we do to get good news? We're down the road. He doesn't watch TV on Sabbath. He doesn't eat pork. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink beer. And he wants to be baptized among the family of Seventh-day Adventists. How do we do that?
First, we have to be happy. And we have to enjoy what we're doing. And if we're excited about our life and have a testimony, that's the first thing.
Okay.
I mean, if we're just sad, they're not going to.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, you in selling, I'm going to compare selling security systems because that's what I teach. Logic does not have a person buy a security system. If it was logic, everybody would have one. So logic, you can't go in. So you're exactly right. You've got to be happy. Witnessing, I've said this many times, in witnessing we'd be much better off sometimes telling people we're Mormons. Because we have such an adverse effect on people that we sully the name of Seventh-day Adventists. And there's nothing wrong with Mormons. I have a tremendous respect for Mormon people. Yes?
You have to give credit to 3ABN, especially on Sabbath. And there are programs on there that will lead you into a good knowledge of what Seventh-day Adventists are all about.
Okay.
Why they're doing it.
Okay.
And I know you know all about what 3ABN is capable of.
Yeah, Rob and I are on the radio.
Sabbath school lesson at 6 o'clock in the morning before we come to Sabbath school.
So the first thing we do is be happy, believe what we believe. When I owned a security company or was in partners, if you were a salesman and did not have a security system in your home, you did not work for me. Because how can you sell something you don't believe in? How can we go out and witness of what God is going to do in your life when He's done nothing in our life? Somebody says, well, tell me your story. Well, right now it's not very good. Okay, so, got to believe in what you're doing and you switch their TV to 3ABN. All right. We're occurred two of them. What's the next way that we get this done? Sir?
They might go to the Hope Channel.
Do what?
They might go to the Hope Channel.
No, I don't like them. They said that Rob wasn't good enough to be on the Hope Channel. Me, on the other hand. I like Rob. You just make fun of him all day long. All right, God, Eloise, and I'll come to you. Yes?
Well, I read a statement this morning that said to see every individual through the grace of God.
Okay, yeah, because that could be you. Uh-huh. Might have been you. Yeah. So, turn your TV to 3ABN, believe in what you're doing and be happy. See them through as a child of God, that's key. Because that's the way Jesus looked at everybody. And you know what? That's the way Jesus looked at you. When you were down there floundering, wondering, questioning, Jesus kept saying, you're my child. I don't care what you've done. Come home. Let's go down the path. Okay, I got Sandra, then I got that. All right, come on, we got to cure these problems.
Before,
yes?
Go see this Korean lady and get a foot massage at Happy Feet in South Lake.
Thank you. Go over there and sell them back row with Jim. Yeah. Go over there. Go to the Korean person. Get your feet done with 3ABN on.
So Carrie and I decided we've been passing this place all the time on Davis. It's called Happy Feet. You know, who wouldn't like a foot massage? So we go in, never having gone in there before, and it's a little creepy, but, you know, we're like, we're doing it, you know. And this beautiful Korean lady comes out. She weighs about 80 pounds, and she was going to tell us her testimony come hell or high water. She was bursting with the love of Jesus. And we got on the table, and she started talking about Jesus. She said, I love Jesus. She said, in Korea, she said, we don't go to doctors. We go to, you know, massage, you know. But she had tried all that, but she had these pains. She finally went to the doctor. and couldn't be healed. And for 2 years, she prayed for healing. And she goes to Gateway Church in South Lake. And she said, Jesus healed me. She went on and on about Jesus is so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He is so beautiful. This is what he's done for me. Do you know Jesus? Because he is so beautiful. He's so wonderful. And her whole place, it was just, she had this music in the background. It was a Christian station, but it wasn't all that crazy Christian music,
yeah.
You know, and it had a few little sermons and Bible verses. She said, this is my mission in life. She said, I will never be able to repay him for what he has done for me.
Yeah.
And the whole 45 minutes or so we were there, she talked about Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, that's a witness. No.
What's that address?
I'll never forget.
Yeah, good. That's good. Diane?
That's basically the thing I was going to say. Unless, until you know Jesus' love in your own life, you can't go tell somebody else. And that's what the good news is. Jesus loves you.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
You're never going to reach anybody unless you start with where they are and what their problems are.
Absolutely. One of the key successes is Jesus met the people where they were. Not where he was, where they were. Okay. Yes, Angela.
Last weekend, I went to one of my former students' wedding. And we went to get something to drink. It was a mimosa. I had never had a mimosa. And this was an Adventist girl that I had taught. And there was ham and everything else there. And so there were not any other Adventists but one other Adventist family there. And so I said, I think the best people are here. We didn't talk about those things. I finished the mimosa. Ella drove home.
Did he drive fast?
He drove okay.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it was, I think the best witness to Georgette was that I was there for her. There was nothing about what we saw or nothing, just enjoying her and celebrating what God's doing in her life.
What would some people have done? Oh my God. Like Fred Sanford. I'm having a heart attack. You got mimosa, you got, well, you know what? You see? Yes.
I'm trying to make a lifestyle change, you know, health wise. And I'm feeling so much better, and it's really exciting. The gentleman that's doing this, the support group, is Dr. Earl Price. And he was, and one of the people in the group was a new Adventist, and she said she couldn't believe that someone brought a chocolate cake. And he said, You know what? You need to focus on yourself and never tell other people what they need to do. You just become, you know, just become the best, healthiest person you can get be. And he said, I'll tell you something. He says, I don't eat cheese. But he said, I don't know why, but God impressed me to take this, to take some of this cheese. It had some cheese on it, you know, a casserole. And he said, I finished eating and I walked away, and this woman came up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, look, I found out about the Sabbath and things like that, and so I looked for a church that had, because it looked like we're supposed to worship on Sabbath, so I came. And I bought ham the first day and nobody touched it. The next potluck I brought something else and nobody touched it, and I figured out, oh, they don't do this, oh, they don't do that, so I brought something else. And this was the third Sabbath she'd come to potluck, and she said, I brought a casserole. And right before he ate that cheese, this woman came up to him and said, you can eat that, you can eat that, you can't eat that, you can't eat that. Because they knew that he likes to be healthy for his own body. And so he just automatically took what she said he couldn't eat. And he ate a little bit, which was reminding me what you did. But anyhow, the lady came crying and she said, if you hadn't eaten something of what I brought, I was never going to come back again.
Yeah. You know, that's real life. That's what happens. Who else? How else are we going to get this guy into the kingdom of heaven? Yes.
Just one quick comment along those lines. Was it not Paul that says, I am all things to all people? When I'm with the Jews, I observe what they observe. When I'm with the Greeks, I observe what they observe so that I can lead them.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, I saw another hand. Yes.
Well, one way you can be Jesus is to let your granddaughter do this to your fingers and wear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When you don't want to.
Yeah. You see, we sometimes think if we're rigid that we're witnessing. If we're not movable, we're witnessing. Well, the only sometimes a witness is, oh, I don't want that. Leroy.
If I can say this right, no church, including our church, has any business making requirements for membership what Christ did not make for our salvation.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I have no problems with that. Okay. All right. How are we going to clean this guy's life up? So far, we got him watching 3ABN. We got him getting a massage. We got him believing. We got him knowing that he's a child of God.
It's not our job to clean him up.
Well, why would you say that?
It's not. It's the Lord's job.
Okay. Uh-huh. Tell a story, Rob, the lady that, without naming names, the lady that you baptized at the ring went clink. You know what I'm talking about. Now, here's true witnessing. While I sit down.
The one where...
You don't stand up, Rob.
The one where the evangelist... Yeah, we were in Tyler. And I was a pastor there. And the evangelist came through and had this evangelistic meeting. And several people agreed that they wanted to join the church. And so during the baptism itself, as they were going up there, this lady was just glowing with the love that she has found. And her husband was holding back, didn't want to do anything. And she said, I'm going to go ahead anyway. Will you come to my baptism? He said, sure, I will. And so the evangelist's wife was back there assisting all the people going up there. And as she went up the stairs to go into baptistry, she put her hand on the rail, and the rail went tink. And the evangelist's wife said, and she noticed over there and saw that the lady was wearing wedding ring, said, oh, you can't take that up there. Took it off. I mean, she just almost fell over in disbelief. She went ahead with the baptism. And she said, since the day my husband has put that ring on my finger, it's never gone off. It's a symbol of our love for one another. When she told the husband what happened, that was the last day they darkened the church because of what they saw there. And it's just, I could not believe it, what had happened there. But to see that things like that supersede
yep.
what Christ means to us is just unbelievable.
Thank you, Rob. You see, we would say that's witnessing. Pardon?
No, we wouldn't.
We wouldn't? No, what would we say?
We
yeah, yeah. You see, the sad thing with our person that smokes, drinks beer, overweight, goes to the wrong church, watching TV on Sabbath, we can convince him not to do any of those things. And he's no closer to salvation when we first met him. Do you get that?
Yes.
No closer to salvation than when we first met him. because we never introduced him to Jesus Christ. Yeah, could be further. You know, is this parable I use, the good daddy, the prodigal son. You see, the prodigal son spiritually was always in better shape than the elder brother. Always. Because the elder brother thought he had it made. He needed nothing. Because he was the good brother. And even when his daddy was so happy, he could not enter into the joy of his daddy. So the prodigal was always in better shape spiritually because he knew he had a problem. It's when you don't have a problem that you're in the devil's hands. So our job is not to go and clean people up. Now, how can we present good news and he quit smoking? How can we do that? One way is we can read, well, in order to be baptized, here's 28 things, and one of them, you got to quit smoking and drinking. But how can we do that? How can we help clean his life up? Because I believe through God that we need to. But how?
Pray
hard. Pray? Prayer's powerful. How else? Yes?
You don't have to do anything in the 35 or so years I've been in Athens. All they need to do is see.
Is what?
Is see the lifestyle or learn about it themselves.
Yeah.
You need to put first things first. Christ and his sacrifice for us, getting to know Christ, getting to know God.
Yep.
And when they... here's a great book. Would you like to read it? It may have some health stuff in there.
Yeah, okay.
And the Holy Spirit will convince them.
Okay. Now, I'm going to...
they are not follow that, you know.
Right.
You don't have to say you got to do this, you know.
Now, if Rob wasn't here, I'd lay claim to this. But since he's here, I've got to give him credit. You need to listen to his CD on Yahweh Sabaoth. It's one of the best. It's one of his favorite sermons. It's not my favorite sermon of his, but it is one of the best illustrations. Revelation 3, what does Jesus say he does? 3:20, what does he do? He stands at the door and does what? Knock. Does he kick it in? Does he push it in? He just knocks. And as Rob tells it, person says, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of hosts." Nothing to do with the Sabbath. Lord of hosts. And finally the person says, "Come in." And Jesus says, "I can't come in. There's no doorknob on the outside." You know, look at the painting of Jesus knocking on the door. There is no doorknob there. Because God never uses force. And the person comes and opens up and he says, "Oh Lord," and he says, "Oh, I'm so ashamed. Look at my house." The guy opens the door with a cigarette in his hand, a can of beer in his hand. He's overweight. He goes to the Catholic Church. It's Saturday afternoon, and he has the TV on. And he says, "Well, I'm a mess. My house is a mess. My house is dirty and everything." Jesus says, "That's all right. I've come to sup with you." Now, in the Greek, I think, I had a poor Greek teacher. But in the Greek, I think it says that I'm going to keep on eating with you. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, see, I pick it up on my own. I'm going to keep on eating with you. And so Jesus is sitting down with a guy who smokes, who drinks beer, who's overweight, goes to the wrong church, eating pork and watching TV, and they sup together. And they start talking. And all of a sudden the guy says, just a minute here. Do you have time for me to clean my house up a little bit? Well, certainly. And he goes and he tidies up. And then they talk and they visit. And then down the road, the guy says, you know, I can kind of see where logically smoking's not the best thing for my body. I think I'm going to give that up. And Jesus says, you know, that would probably be a good idea. But let's keep on visiting. Let's keep on. And eventually, the guy comes to his own conclusions because he begins to understand that there's two things about smoking. Number one, if you want to belong to my church, you can't smoke. Or number two is, you know, that certainly makes good sense. And then we get to the pork. Well, I would die before I would eat a piece of shrimp. See? Or you come to the conclusion, it makes good sense. And then you get to the biggie. Now, if you've had anything to do with evangelistic services, and I've been, you know, being a pastor, I've been with lots of them. The most critical part of the evangelistic series is when? What's the turning point of the Sabbath? And oh boy, that's the fulcrum. Is that a good word, fulcrum? Good thing I don't make a living having to talk. That's the point where it all falls or doesn't fall. And all right, the evangelist, oh brothers, let's pray. Oh, tonight's a mem, right? See? But in Jesus, he just talks and he visits. And the guy finally gets around saying, well, what about this Sabbath? Well, you can't work, you can't watch TV, you can't have fun, shouldn't have sex. That was taught one time. You shouldn't do this. No, God, Jesus doesn't say a word about that. He says, you know, I was involved in that decision about the Sabbath. And you know why we decided to do that? No, why? We thought it would be fantastic to set aside a time that it would be just me and you visiting with no interruptions. And you'd have a chance to visit with your family. And you could forget about that work problems. You could forget. We just thought it would be fantastic to have a special day every week that we can spend time together. And then the guy wakes up like Paul did one day, who said, wow, what I used to do, smoke cigarettes, drink beer, be overweight, go to the wrong church, eat pork sandwich and watch TV. You know, I don't want to do those things anymore. And things I used to hate to do, I find out I'm doing them. Who did this to me? Oh, the 20th century Bible course. You know what I mean? No. Says, thank God Jesus Christ did that. No wonder Jesus stood up in his first real sermon and said, brothers and sisters, I'm bringing you good news. We bring some of the most negative news to an individual that we can. We mean well. We want to do well. We have good intentions, but the message is negative. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, and you can't. I've been thrown out of school three times because I couldn't, and I couldn't, and I did, and I did, and I did. Because, as I made this up, rules without relationship results in rebellion. And that's what we bring in people's lives, is rebellion. The good news, God loves you no matter where you're at. Come and get to know me, he says. We'll walk down the path together. And please understand, my greatest desire is that you come to heaven and live with me and we fellowship together for eternity. That's the good news. Whoever's opening to shut the door, tell them I don't appreciate it. Father in heaven, such a good day, such a group, good group of people. We ask that, first of all, we know the good news. That's so important. And as you work in our lives, would you help us to share the good news with our neighbors? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.